On the Lord's Day, we open the Word of God in the book of John's Gospel, chapter 3. That lovely verse concerning the love of God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Last evening, we looked at the scriptures once again, and we turned in the book of Galatians to that verse. It is, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I want us to think of those words there in verse number 15 of this James chapter 1. And it says this, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I want to talk about a subject tonight that perhaps makes most of us uncomfortable, because it is something that is applicable to each and every one of us. And that is just a simple three-lettered word. It is that word which is spoken there in verse 15, sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And so I want us to think about that subject, because the Word of God reminds us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's why I said, it's applicable to us all. In the book of Romans in the chapter 5, it says, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. So there's not one of us can say, well, listen, that's not applicable to me, because the Word of God says it's sin passed upon, death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And every one of us have to admit before God that we have sinned. Now, we ask the question, what is sin? What is sin? Now, the Catechism gives us a very good summary of divine truth. It tells us that sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. Now, you say, well, what does that mean? Well, remember the law which God gave, the law that God gave to Moses. We know them as the Ten Commandments. You'll find those Ten Commandments divided in two. On the one hand, we have four commandments, and those opening four commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, and remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And then we come to the other six of the commandments. And those final six start with that commandment concerning the family, honor thy father and thy mother. Then it is, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, and thou shalt not covet. And so therefore we see here that the commandments of God are divided in two. Now you say, well, what way are they doing? Well, first of all, the first four of the commandments are concerning your relationship with God. With God. Man's relationship with God. And friend, that is the number one thing. Our relationship with God. Because we can have a relationship with everyone else that's right. And if our relationship with God is not right, then we are still in our sin. Now, the other six commandments are not man's relationship with God, but man's relationship with man. In other words, honor thy father and mother, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, and thou shalt not covet, etc. And so therefore we have there the division of the commandments, relationship with God and our relationship with man. Now let's go away back to the beginning. Let's turn our Bibles away back to the book of Genesis in the chapter 1. And therefore we'll not lose ourselves, because that's the easiest part of the Bible to find. It is the book of Genesis, because it's the first book. And Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 27, it says this, after God had made all things and all the creation of God was concluded there, it says in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And so therefore God has created man. Now when you come into the second chapter of the book of Genesis, you find that God has given unto Adam a helpmeet, and he's there in the garden. He's given the task of looking after the garden. And the Bible tells us there that God put a prohibition upon one tree of the garden. For example, look down there at the verse number 16. It says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." And so therefore God says he's demanding obedience from man to his command and to his law. And God commands not partial obedience. It says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. And that's the summary of the commandments, our love for God, and therefore, because we love him, then our relationship with man will also be right before man and also before him. But God says here in this passage, say to Adam, he says, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. God was making a command, and he was demanding obedience. He was demanding obedience. Now, let me tell you, when Adam sinned in the garden, let me say this to you. Adam could not claim ignorance whenever he sinned. Because God said to Adam, when he gave him that command, God told him the price of disobedience. In other words, he demanded obedience, but then he told him what would be the result of disobedience if he failed to obey God. And this is what God said. He said, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And that's where Romans comes in. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, because that's the price and the wages of sin, and death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And so therefore we see that what sin is, friend, it is rebellion. It is rebellion against God. Now I said the commandments have got a twofold command. First of all, thou shalt, and God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And then God gives the commands, of course, also as well, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. There are thou shalt. In other words, God says, this is what you have to do. And then you'll notice in the commandments, it says, thou shalt not. And what those are the things that you're not to do. You're not to do. So on the one hand, man is told what he ought to do. On the other hand, man is told what he ought not to do. So therefore, he cannot claim ignorance. I don't know what I ought to do, and I don't know what I ought not to do. Because God has given a clear command to Adam, and God has given a clear command through Moses and the Ten Commandments concerning the moral law of God. My friend, what God was asking for was obedience. So what was man going to do? Was man going to obey God, or was man going to disobey God? Now, God gave Adam a helpmate. Her name was Eve. God performed that first operation, took the rib out of Adam and formed her. The Bible says, builded a woman and brought her unto her husband. And he was absolutely, he called her, whoa, man. In other words, wow, whenever he saw her. He was absolutely taken by her beauty. And she was stunning as God brought the woman unto Adam at that time. But friend, let me tell you this. In the garden, we find that there were two voices. On the one hand, there was the voice of God. Then when you come to chapter 3, you find there's the voice of the devil in the form of a serpent. And if you look at chapter number 3 and verse number 1, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He was crafty. And of course, he's always crafty. The devil's always crafty. Let me tell you, people have got this idea that the devil came, you know, he's got the hoofs and he's got the horns. And of course, if you were to see the devil in that form, friend, I want to tell you, you'd run from him. But I tell you, whenever the serpent came to Eve, he looked a beautiful creature. He looked a beautiful creature. And the devil, you know, the word of God says, he comes as the angel of light. He doesn't come as this ugly, awful, fiendish thing. No, no. He comes because he was more subtle than any beast of the field. And he was crafty when he came and entered into a conversation with Eve. He says, yea, hath God said, verse number 1, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. In other words, he entered into a conversation with Eve. Let me tell you, my friend, have you ever had a person ring you on the phone And I'm plagued with these boys that bring up, and they're salesmen, and they're always, well, if it's not PPI, it's something else. They're selling someone. And have you ever had a person, let me tell you, when you came onto the phone, you had no intention whatsoever to buy anything from that person. But you see, whenever they were finished, you committed yourself to something. You never really knew what you're committing yourself to. And you say, why did I do that? What a fool I am. And I bought the thing and never wanted it in the first place because he was a good salesman. Well, that's what the devil did, friend. He got into conversation. And you watch when a person gets onto the phone, the best thing those salesmen come on to you and you don't want it, friend, set the phone down. Don't get into the conversation, because I can tell you, he's getting you on the hook. And boy, when he gets you on the hook, he's trained how he brings and draws you in and gets you to buy something which you never intended to buy in the first place. There were two voices, and my, the old devil, he comes, and the devil asks a simple, it didn't sound so simple, friend. Hath God said that? Hath God, you know what he's saying? Are you sure that God said that? And friend, if you and I had time, and we haven't time tonight, you notice that he questioned, he put a question mark, and he put a question into Eve's mind that day in the garden. He challenged or questioned the authenticity of the word. Is this God's word in the first place? Are you sure that God said this? And the authority of the word? And then the accuracy of the word. Are you sure that that's the accurate thing that God said, that God says, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And then, of course, he was really, this was the heart of it, the acceptability of the word. Because he wanted her to say, no, this is not acceptable. And once he got her into conversation, friend, you'll find that tragically and very sadly, she entered into this conversation, and you notice she did two things in the conversation. She added to the word, and she took from the word. And you look at that yourself carefully, friend. She added to what God said. And it says in verse number 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. Now, God didn't talk about that. God didn't say that. She added to the word. And then she said, lest ye die. Now, God didn't say that either, because God didn't say, lest you die. God says, you'll surely die. So she did the two things. She added to the word and she took from the word. And you know what the Bible says? There's a curse of God upon the person that adds to the word or takes from the word. And friend, I want to tell you, sadly today, there are many preachers and they add their own thinkings to the word and they take away the authority of the word and the power of the word. And in actual fact, they put a question mark over the word. And that's exactly what the devil did those years ago. And friend, we find that the devil then he went on to say in verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that the devil heard the word surely die? Surely die. He quoted what the Lord said. Exactly. The woman, she took from it. She took the authority and the power off that word. And she said, lest ye die. She took away the seriousness of the command and the price of to have to pay because of sin. But the devil added one word too. The devil says, you shall not. You shall not surely die. He defied God, friend, and he turned to the woman and he said, you know, God's holding out on you, Eve. Because God knows the day you eat of that tree, you'll become as God. In other words, he doesn't want you to become your own master. He wants you to be under his control. And God is holding out. He knows that if you take of that fruit, you'll become your own God. And friend, that's what people want today. They want to be their own God. You know what the Bible says? Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. And nobody wants to be under God's control. God says, thou shalt not. Man says, I will. God says, thou shalt. And man says, I won't. Why? Because I'm the boss in the whole situation. Friend, I tell you this. We're only fooling ourselves because you're not the boss of anything. You and I tell you, people say, you sometimes say, what do you own? And some man, he sticks out his chest and he says, well, I have got this and I have got that. You own nothing, friend. You're lent it. You're only lent it for a wee while and then you're taken from it. And I can tell you, it doesn't matter how many of the acres it is, and it's reared on a farm, and it doesn't matter what you own, friend, as far as you're lent it for a wee while, and then it will either pass on to somebody else, or you're just taken away from it, and it's sold in the end of the day. No, we don't. We're not in control. We're not the boss at all. And Eve, the devil says, you'd become as God. You know what she did? She looked at the fruit. The devil sowed the seed. And whenever he sowed the seed in her heart, friend, she got it. You know, God knows that fruit's good for you. You'll become as your own God. She looked at it. You know what it said? The Bible says, and not only did she see the fruit of the tree, verse 6, she saw it was good for food. She said it was pleasant to the eyes. And then it was desired to make one wise. Then she took of the fruit and did eat. And she gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, let me tell you, my friend, Adam did not sin in ignorance. Adam sinned willfully. God had told Adam very clearly in the garden before he ever gave him Eve. God says, Adam, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And I want to tell you tonight, sin is a problem that you and I must face tonight. It is a serious problem. The word of God says, fools make a mock at sin. And there's boys standing on the television and they'll mock at sin, friend. And you know, God calls them. God says, you're a fool. It's only a fool that makes a mock of sin because, friend, let me tell you, sin when it is finished. And there's always a payday. And there's always a day, as we spoke last night, the word of God says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, the harvest of his sin. And I want you to notice something about sin tonight. Because this is a serious thing. And every one of us are born with this disease. There's not one of us. You know, if a doctor was, you're walking to the doctor's surgery, and the doctor's just set you down in the seat, and you knew there was something serious he had to tell you, and he says, I'm sorry, I've got to tell you something. You've got an incurable disease. Quite honest, to tell you the truth, the first thought goes into your mind is cancer. Maybe before you ever went in, if you've got a pain at all, now people are so afraid of it, they think that that's surely what it's going to be. And they're afraid that that's going to be the answer. And I tell you this, you see, when the doctor says to you, friend, I'm sorry you've got cancer, you don't, ha, 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 that's a great thing, I'm glad I've got that. No, friend, you know, you don't. Many a man, the biggest strong man, let me tell you, sat in the doctor's surgery and the tears have run down his eyes and he hasn't cried for years. Do you know why? Because he feels he's got a death sentence. He takes it serious. And yet the reality is this, when God tells us that you and I have got a greater disease, and God diagnoses that that problem is sin. The heart of the problem is the problem of the human heart, friend. And God says every one of us has got the problem. It's the problem of sin. And yet fools make a mock at sin. People think, well, what's he talking about? What's he getting worked up about? Your sin's not a real problem at all. If that's all is wrong with me, sure, I have nothing to worry about. I want to tell you, you have everything to worry about. You've got everything to worry about. Because God has a lot of things to say about sin in this book. Let me tell you, first of all, sin's a deception. We talked about last night, it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. But I'll tell you, sin deceives you. You remember whenever the devil said to Eve, he said, Eve, if you take of that fruit, you'll become as God. It'll lift you up. My, it'll raise you. I tell you, when the preacher stands in the pulpit to preach, he doesn't talk about the elevation of Adam in the garden. He talks about the fall. The fall. But he thought it was elevation. He thought it was going to lift him up, but he thought it was going to be the answer to his need. Whenever Eve handed Adam that fruit in the garden, he took it and he ate. And man willfully sinned against God. The devil promised her. Oh yes, he promised her elevation. But God warned it would bring condemnation. The day thou eatest thereof, Adam, the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And let me tell you, my friend, that day something happened in Adam physically. Because the Bible says, when you read the story of Adam, it says, and he died. And the seeds of death that day were sown. And the harvest of death was reaped. And you read the fifth chapter of the book of Genesis, and I'll tell you one after the other, yes, Methuselah lived so many, and then it says, and he died. And I don't care how many years you've got. I don't care whether it's 969. I don't care whether it's 99. I don't care whether it's 9, friend. We have to die. You know why? Because death passed upon all men. And that sentence of death was passed upon every man of Adam's race. And you and I are sons and daughters of Adam's race. But the devil promised him, if it lift you up, you become as God. You'll never die because you're in control of everything. And we talk about the reality in the garden, the fall of man and the ruin of man. Why? Because of sin. But that's what God warned him. God gave him the warning there in the garden before Adam ever had his wife, before Adam ever looked upon the tree, before Adam ever took the apple, God says, or the fruit. God says, Adam, the day thou eatest thereof, remember this. You can read of every other tree. Isn't it amazing? There was a garden full of trees and fruit for Adam to eat. And God put a prohibition upon one. And isn't it wonderful? That's the one the devil pointed to. That's the one for you. And friend, let me tell you this. Here's a young fellow and he's walking down the street and he's walking past the bar. And the young lad has never been through a bar door in his life, and he walks past and he hears the tinkle of the glasses and he hears the laughter and he hears the song and he hears all the rest of it that's going on. And the devil says, that's the place for you. That's the place for you. But deep in his heart, he knows that his upbringing tells him that's not the place and that's not the company for him. But my, the devil deceives him, and here's a young lad and he walks past, but there comes a day he walks in. And when you look at the television, friend, and you look at all the pictures, and you can see every story today, there has to be booze somewhere, and it talks, and they're standing there laughing and all the rest of it. Tell you what doesn't show you. It doesn't show you much of the heartache and the heartbreak that the booze brings. Doesn't talk about the broken families and the broken hearts. Doesn't show you, my friend, many of the broken bodies that are lying along the highways, and scarred and scattered across the highways of time. Because of the booze. Oh, no, it plays the different scene. You see, the devil deceives. And because he was more subtle. He was more subtle than anyone else. And friend, you go down through the scriptures. Turn to the book of Proverbs. That's a wonderful book. I don't know why you spent much time in the book of Proverbs. I remember when I went to Macrofelt, there was a wee woman there. Didn't belong to my congregation. She came every Sunday night. But this wee woman, to tell you the truth, Ethel had loose teeth. And the top teeth always fell down. When she turned it, these teeth were falling always down on the top of it. And then she always used to say, and she looked at me, and she said, young man, don't forget the Proverbs. Don't forget the Proverbs. And I can tell you, it's a wonderful book. And friend, let's turn with me to chapter 23 of the book of Proverbs. May the devil promise you sin. That's what you need, young fella. That's what you need, mother. That's what you need, father, to make you happy and to be a part of the crowd. Look at Proverbs chapter 23. We'll go to verse 31 rather. It says, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Then it says this, verse 32, at the last it biteth like a serpent and it stingeth like an adder. Just you remember those words, friend. At the last. Ah, yes. And here's a young lad and he walks in for the first time into the bar and he sits down and the devil promises him, there's the place to be, young lad. You'll get the best out of life there. And many of that young lad, let me tell you this, and he ended his day in his mouth and his nose in the gutter. And even his very farm, perhaps, that he was reared on, went on to the market because that's where sin had left him in the end of the day. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and it stingeth like an adder. Sin deceives. Somebody said one time, a preacher, I remember, I don't know which one it was, he used to say, every one of the devil's apples has worms in it. Oh, it might be rosy outside, friend. Did you ever bite into it? And boy, you're saying, there's a lovely, boys, doesn't it look lovely? And you're just ready to take a big bite and you put your teeth right into it. And it's rotten inside. As I say, you throw it away. It looked good. That's what the devil does, friend. Judas Iscariot thought he could sell the Savior, you know, for 30 pieces of silver. He was the one that carried the bag. And the devil says to him, you get the money, Judas, you get the money. But I've got to sell the Savior, the one that I've been with this 3 years. And the devil says, sure, what about the Savior? What about Jesus? Get the money, get it in the bag, because he was the one that lusted after the bag, the money. And he thought that money could buy you everything. Let me tell you, friend, money may buy you a house. Remember this, it can't buy you a home. For there's many a man who's got a house and he hasn't a home. Money can buy you friends. But money can't buy you true love. There's a difference. Don't forget this. Lessons that God's teaching us tonight. And I want to tell you, the devil said to Judas Iscariot, you get the money in the bag, and my, what about Jesus? What about him? Judas Iscariot sold the Savior for 30 pieces of silver, friend. And you know, whenever he got it, he thought he had made, and he went out, and let me tell you, no sooner had he got it than conscience. I've got 30 pieces of silver, but I've sold Jesus for it. And no sooner did he get it, friend, that he couldn't keep it, and he ran back into the men that he had made the bargain, and he threw the 30 pieces of silver down, and he cried this, I have sinned, I have betrayed the innocent blood. You know what they said to him? What's that to us? And laugh at him. Let me tell you, the dear sinner that dies in a sin and takes the devil's way and goes on in their sin, friend, and you see, when the sinner gets to hell, the devil will laugh at you. You've only been his fool. Sin will take you further. And you want to go. Remember Pilate? Pilate was faced with a crowd. He knew deep in his heart that Jesus was an innocent man. He heard all the charges that were against the lovely Son of God. And then he got a message from his wife, and she said to him, have thou nothing to do with that just man? I've suffered many things in a dream this day because of him. He even was warned by his family. And then Pilate looked at the crowd. And Pilate thought that, well, he's innocent. What am I going to do with Jesus? Which is called Christ. He said, crucify him. You know, the devil says to Pilate, you know, get a basin. Get a basin and put the water in the basin and then wash your hands and hold them up before the people and say, I'm innocent of the blood. See you to it. Let me tell you, friend. All the water in that basin and all the waters of the ocean could not wash away the stain of his death. Because this is what the Word of God says. After he, that's Pilate, had scourged Jesus, he, Pilate, delivered him to be crucified. Ah, yes, he listened to the crowd. And the crowd says, away with him, and he was afraid of the crowd. You know why many men and women are not saved tonight? Because they're afraid of man. What would man say? What would my friends say at school? What would my friends say at work? What would my family say if I give my heart and life to Jesus Christ? Let me tell you, friend. There'll come a day whenever God calls you to meet him and none of your friends will be there to back you up. You'll stand before God alone. Just you and God. And the books will open. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. I'm going to say something else carefully to you, and I want you to listen to me. The world and your friends and even your family could laugh you into hell, friend. But I want to warn you something. They will never laugh you out of it. Don't forget that. You can go with a crowd, but when you get to hell, remember this wasn't what the Bible says about hell. It's the blackness of darkness forever. And one of the greatest tragedies of hell is this, that while it's full, you're all alone. Alone. In the blackness. In the darkness. Of a Christless eternity. Loneliness is an awful thing, you know. Look at the number of people, let me tell you, that loneliness is driving them crazy. I think I've seen it so many times in all the public years of public life that I've been, so walking into many homes in many different circumstances. And people say, I'm so lonely. I'm so alone. There's no loneliness like hell, friend. And that's the wages of sin. But sin deceives you. You see, maybe you're saying to me tonight, preacher, I've listened to what you've said, but listen, that's not really me you're talking to, because I'm not affected by sin. Well, what does the Word of God say? The Word of God says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? The heart of man is deceitful above all things. 1 John chapter 1 says this, if we say we have no sins, listen to this, we deceive ourselves. All people are trying to deceive people. You know what? We live in an age, you keep up with the Joneses. If there's any Joneses here tonight, God bless you. But you know, the old saying is, you keep up with the Joneses. And there's people, let me tell you this, and they can't afford it, but they want to buy the biggest car because their neighbour down the road has got a big car. Or their friends have got a big house, so they've got to get a big house. And they're breaking their net in debt. But they want to put on the show. Let me tell you, that can go so far, but I can tell you, it comes to an end. Someday the bank will look for payment. Someday the mortgage will be called in if you're not able to pay it, friend. And you can lose the big house and you can lose the big car. You know what you find out? You didn't deceive others in reality. You deceived yourself. For you had what you couldn't afford. God says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth's not in us. Isn't that awful? What an awful thing for a man to live and then to close his eyes in death, friend, and when the shutters of life are pulled down and his soul is ushered out into God's eternity, to find out one moment after the day to realize they thought they were all right and find out when they meet God they're lost. And they're lost forever. They promised themselves that they were good enough. They promised themselves that they were clean enough. They promised themselves that they could make it their way to heaven. And God says, Jesus is the only way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. But there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. Proverbs 14:12. But the end thereof. There it is again. The end thereof. At the last. It's the way of death. You see, sin deceives, friend. Sin divides. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, it says, your iniquities are separated between you and God. And that's what happened, friend, because the Word of God tells me in the book of Genesis that when Adam was there in the garden before he sinned, Adam had fellowship with God. And then when he sinned in the third chapter of the book of Genesis, the Bible tells us that the voice of the Lord God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam was afraid. Never was afraid before. Now fear grips his heart, you know why, friend? Because he knows that God has found out his sin. Yes, God had already seen it. Be sure your sin will find you out. And when the voice of the Lord God walked in the garden up until that moment, friend, I'll tell you, that voice was sweet to Adam. He enjoyed the voice of God. Yes, he could say, he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I'm his own. And what sweet fellowship Adam had with God until that moment he sinned. And whenever he sinned and God's voice came in the garden, and God says, Adam, where art thou? Tell me. Did God not know where he was? Yes, he did. Why then had God asked the question? Because God wanted Adam to tell where he was. And God found him out. And Adam and Eve, whenever they heard the voice of the Lord God, they tried to sew fig leaves and cover their nakedness. And they were ashamed and they were afraid. The fruits of sin, friend. And now they stand in the presence of God. Where are you, Adam? Then I asked you before God, where are you tonight? Where are you? Are you right with God? If this is the last night on earth, if this is the last night that God was to give you this old earth, friend, and God was to require your soul tonight, tell me, are you ready? Oh, you say, preacher, but it's not going to be my last night. Who told you that, friend? Who told you that? It was a Saturday morning. There was a neighbor was to be buried that afternoon. A young woman in her 40s had died of cancer. She's been buried that afternoon. Her neighbor was my brother. He said to his wife, he said, Valerie, you know it's cold. It was the first day of March. It's a cold day. I'll go, I need to get a new coat. My daughter was being married on the following Friday. He says, I need to get something to match a tie and a shirt to match my suit for the wedding on Friday. So my sister and my brother went in to the town. His wife was busy. He says, take your sister, go into the town, get a new shirt and get a new tie, get a new overcoat. And he did, friend. Did. Came home, took his midday meal, went up the stairs to get ready for the funeral of his neighbour. And all of a sudden his daughter heard a thud up in the bathroom. Her daddy was shaving. She ran up. And her daddy was dead. He went to her funeral. Yes, he did. Then he was taken to it. It was his own. He never wore the overcoat. Yes, the shirt was on, but it wasn't for my daughter's wedding. It was his funeral. Don't you, friend, try to take God on and say, that couldn't be me. Because let me tell you, God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. For thou knowest not. And what if it is? Are you ready? Be honest. Don't deceive yourself. Be honest before God. Listen, I'm talking about the most serious thing in all the world. I don't care whoever you listen to or what any other meeting you go to, friend. I'll tell you, there's nothing more serious. I'm talking about your eternity. I'm talking about your precious soul. The Lord Jesus said, what should it profit a man if he gain the whole world and he lose his own soul? For what can a man give in exchange for a soul? The answer is nothing. There's nothing you can get in exchange for a soul that's worth it. To damn your soul in the lost eternity. And I love you enough to tell you the truth. Because it's the truth that sets men free. Yes, sin divides. And here was Adam in fellowship with God. And you read the third chapter of the book of Genesis, and before you finish it, it says this: so God drove out the man. Sin separated him from God. And then this is what Isaiah says, chapter 59. Your sins separate between you and God. That's what it does. And I want to tell you, sin will not pay. Moses said this. Hebrews chapter 11. And the verse 25, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, listen to me carefully, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. You said, but the pleasures, yes, friend. But listen to the last words. For a season. The pleasures of sin are only for a season. Your soul goes to eternity forever. Sin, when it is finished, time's away. We could go down it. Sin deceives. Sin divides. Sin defiles. Ah, friend, let me tell you, sin's not clean, sin's dirty. Adam said he was afraid, but he was also ashamed. Sin defiles. Sin devours. Oh, the chains of sin. Oh, many a young lad has walked in, as I said earlier on. He walked into the bar and he thought, you know, well, it'll not devour me. Never master me. Let me tell you, friend, don't forget this. The greatest drunkard in this land never intended to be a drunkard. He just started with a first drink. And then at the last. And he devoured the first last, but I'll tell you this, thereafter, the last devoured him. Because sin devours. And lastly, sin damns. Destroys you. For sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I'm glad I'm able to say tonight, thank God sins can be forgiven. The Bible says, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. One verse and this we're through. Romans chapter 4. I want to leave this good news with you, friend. Glory to God, you don't need to go home in your sin. For I have great news. There's great joy in God's forgiveness. Romans chapter 4, verse number 7. Ah, get this into your heart. Blessed, the word blessed means happy. Happy. Happinesses. Happy are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Your sins, your iniquities, thank God they can be forgiven. Your sins can be covered. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son,
cleanseth from all sin. Will you hold on to it? So, preacher, I love my sin. Remember, yeah, there are pleasures in sin for a season, but then eternity. Eternity, eternity. Under the wrath of God because of sin. Or will you come as a sinner, friend, to Christ? Confess it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We started tonight, redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless thy word tonight. We thank thee for the solemn truth of thy word. O God, write it in every heart.